Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dead Set Legends on this Saturday morning. A bit of a brisk start to this Saturday, and it's going to be a nice afternoon for golf,
I think. I'm sure it will be, Louie.
And we're looking forward to the clash tonight, 2-3. The Bulldogs taking on Port Adelaide. Big crowd, hopefully, at the Adelaide Oval. And it's a very, very good morning, firstly, to you, Brad Ebert.
Hey, good morning, mate. It's great to be here again, and very excited to be here. I think you don't mind those inclement weather, though, do you? You were just telling me about last Saturday playing golf and how well you played in the wet and all that sort of stuff.
Teed off in the rain and might have won the whole day, Jars. 41 points down at Cooey.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here.
Don't change the subject. I told Ebo to lead with that,
yeah,
and
of course
he's just
you did.
Following my lead. So
he's been telling me since last Saturday.
No, I haven't.
Just make sure you bring it up next week. Just make sure you bring it up.
No. Very modest over here, unlike you, Jars. Good morning. You're
just
looking
said
a little
morning.
Bit. Little bit.
Can you say Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, you don't say it right.
You say it.
Saturday.
Do you know what I don't mind saying at the moment? Jars is just rocking a bit of a bushy beard.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Father Christmas.
You're whacking
beard.
My grooming, are you?
I'm not whacking it, mate, but it's very white.
You probably designer need a stubble. That's what it's called, isn't it? Designer
Tim
stubble.
Tim Pine, you're in the building. Yeah. Where'd you come from?
Under the desk.
Where is everyone?
Under the desk.
Like digging in.
Now, your great mate, Carl Viet, well, you say
be
he's
careful
your,
where you go with this. Yes, he is a great.
Well, they're struggling.
No,
they
haven't
had a win for a month. But you said your advice to Carl Viet was when you're coaching, make sure you shave, you know, game day.
Well,
and
he's on the national stage.
Look are good, you coaching
feel good,
today?
Good.
Yeah, I'm coaching today.
Look at you.
Well, how cold is it at Newry?
Look at you.
Oh, that beanie as well. It looks like he's about
you
to
got
go.
I'm going
five
to Newry. Day growth.
Rob the SCA.
Yeah, Marion likes it. What did you say then?
You're going to go rob the buddy Southern Cross or Stereo Studios here.
Am I going to rob a place, am I?
I was a bit nervous when I jumped in the lift today and he had your beanie, beard and bloody Speed Dealer Sunnies on. I was very worried.
Now, let's go. Let's get on. What have we got?
Well, Saints Cats last night. The Saints in front of goal. Come on. Ooh, what were they doing? So the Cats got home by 21 points. But a couple of things were back last night.
It was good to
and
see
one
too.
Of them was the barrel. Listen to this.
Oh, the big barrel.
Oh, Zach Tuohy's landed it. Jeez. Over the middle of the Marvel Stadium ball. It goes straight to centre half forward. Massive barrel from Zach.
There it was.
It's good to
that
see.
That nearly hit the roof.
It was good to see.
Bigger than Blighty's, they're saying.
I think any fullback kicks in, he has to do the barrel.
Why not?
It's a new rule.
The Jarman rule.
Like
no, but I,
what look, were you boys like at the barrel?
Oh, my brother was very good.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't really get on the
what's it got to do with you?
Enough.
What were you
no,
like?
No, but you're asking what the, about.
I said, what were you like at kicking the barrel?
I just said, not very good, but my brother was very good at it.
I never really brought it out in the game. I always thought about it.
Training, you would have.
Yeah, training, I could drop them, but I never wanted to.
You're a bit, nervous?
I just want to make sure that I was a bit of a stiff on the footy field, you know.
But it was very good.
It was good to see.
It was good to see.
And it was
nearly hit the roof, didn't it?
Good to see someone that played about 10 years ago, Fraser Gehry, was in the house.
This is the best part.
The big G train.
The great Fraser Gehry.
Yep.
Coleman medalist, kicked 100.
Yep.
He's giving away pies.
He's enjoying that pie, I tell you what.
There he is. The man with one of the biggest jaws that's ever.
And the shortest
lived.
Neck.
Shortest he was.
Gee, that's brave saying that in the studio.
Mate, I'm very nervous of what I just said. Please don't send that to Melbourne.
Oh.
The G train, mate.
Nice.
He's got that aura around him, doesn't he? It was good to see. And mate, he's one of the stars. I think as a kid growing up, it was always the G train just had that sort of presence about him. So, mate, he's certainly good to see back at the footy.
Yeah. Now the basics in football, Jars, kicking for goal.
Well.
Saints last night.
I know. And what I can't work out, I can work it out. It's terrible technique. It's routine. It's between the ears. They're inside of a stadium. Now, if it was played during the day and it was windy, I could accept some of that, missed shots for goal. But when you're having a set shot inside a stadium where there's no flame and wind,
yep.
And you're 25 metres out. Now, I'm the last bloke to tell a bloke, but it's an attitude thing. It's a confidence thing. And when you see a teammate lining up for goal, you don't see too many other teammates get around him and say, straighten him up, straighten his hips up and just say, mate, aim for the right-hand post. The best advice we got growing up playing footy from Mike Noonan was hit the right-hand post.
Why the right-hand post?
Well, because it goes from right to left.
Well, so yeah, but some if your people, kick's a little bit different. My Tommy left, Hawkins was a left, yeah, but you never kick, was a left to right.
Evo was a good kick for goal.
Please,
but
please.
No, that cost the game last night. That cost St Kilda the game last night.
Yeah, it did.
17 behinds.
Certainly did. Now, Jay Clark on the show today. Bryce Gibbs is going to join us too in the
I'm
first
excited
hour.
To speak to him. Yeah, it'll be good.
See how he's going. Yeah. Playing some good football for South Adelaide. Mm-hmm. So he'll join us. But coming up next, Brett Ratten and the holding the ball rule. Got him, just got the nostrils flaring a bit last night.
And you can be a part of the show anytime as well. Get on the Triple M text line 0488 51047. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Ebo and Jarzus.
Plenty of games you cost them.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Ebo and Jars. Triple M rocks footy from 11:30 this morning with a rub. Now you can stream the footy wherever you go. Download the Listener app and select Triple M Adelaide.
Thanks, Timmy. Now we're talking about the Cats and St Kilda last night. The Cats getting over the line by 21 points.
Getting over who?
St Kilda? What did I say?
Lions.
Did I? The Saints. Thanks, Jars.
He's quick, isn't he?
Yep. One thing that was brought up by Brett Ratten, the coach of St Kilda, was the tackling last night and the holding the ball. So let's just have a listen to what Brett Ratten said after the game first.
I don't know. I feel for the players. You know, to have 85 and get three holding the ball. You know, be interesting to have a look at how those balls got distributed too. That'd be,
I mean, it's on that topic. It seemed like, you know, players were just dropping and throwing and nothing was happening. I think you're onto something there. Is that one of the key parts of the frustration?
You said it. I didn't say it. If it must be frustrating you.
Well, to me it looked like it. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, if that's a handball, then jeepers.
Mm.
Anyway,
Thoughts, boys?
He's flat. He is flat.
Matt, but he's got a point. He's certainly got a point. I think Alistair Clarkson made the point as well around the whole holding the ball issue, and I'm with him. I felt as if even, you know, by the latter part of my career as well, it was starting to get to that point where making a genuine attempt and actually disposing of the ball properly were getting very blurred to the point where I feel as if they're trying to do it to keep the game flowing and keep that space, but in the end what happens is you drop it, someone else picks it up, they drop it, someone else picks it up, they drop it, and you just get a rolling scrum and it becomes almost that rugby ugly sort of look until the umpires finally ball it up. So I feel as if anything, it just compacts it and creates more congestion.
About five holding the balls against Geelong. Bloke had prior and he coughed the ball up, umpire said play on. That was dead set holding the ball. All right, they laid 85 effective tackles, St Kilda. You normally win games, don't you, Brad?
They're
wonderful numbers. They are outstanding numbers. And they win you games, but three.
Three holding the ball.
If I was Brett Ratten today, sorry, love, sorry, kiddies, Dad's going to watch this whole tape and just work out how many we got stiff, how many we got shafted by, because they were the best side last night. It wasn't Geelong. Geelong just had a bit of class at the end finish off.
Yeah.
But St Kilda, that... holding the ball, I've got the... because I don't know what holding the ball is in the AFL. I've got a clearer picture in grassroots footy. I actually do know... that's holding the ball. Umpires pay it, and sometimes they just let it go. But in the AFL, I don't know what it is anymore, Bradley. What is holding the ball in the AFL?
I think you've got the definition there, so I'm keen to hear exactly what it is.
When tackled, the player must kick or hand pass the ball, and failing to do so, provided he has the opportunity. He has the opportunity... which will result in a free kick to the tackler.
Yeah, mate.
Don't you reckon the players have got very good, though, Jars and Ebo? Like, when they are tackled, they almost get slung around 360, and then they get either a little handball away or even drop it. If there's an arm pin, they drop it and they get a little kick in. So players have got a lot better at that to me. But I think where the frustration comes in from the supporters is, you know, the big 360, you know, they've got the ball for ages before they get the possession away.
Well, I think with the 360, really, like if you get the full 360, I don't mind the idea. If you still, I don't know, there's almost a control element. If you still look like you're in control and you still are able to like hold you steady and get the ball off reasonably well, then play on. Well done to you. But if you're doing 360s and throwing the ball out or making an attempt and the ball sort of spills, that's holding the ball. And even in close, tight situations, if you are getting tackled after having a prior opportunity and still just making an attempt, I still think that there's space for that holding the ball to be called because it opens up the play. And with the way the rules are changing these days, with the man on the mark and stuff, there's not that congestion anyway. So therefore, the rule is holding the ball is called. everyone disperses, and you've actually got an ability to use the ball.
Have the rules committee made it harder for the umpires to interpret it?
I don't know, mate. That's a
tough
one.
Why is it so hard for the umpire?
Well, they've obviously been instructed in certain ways, certainly.
To make a decision that's holding the ball.
Would you agree, Jars, over the years, that's one thing that really has improved with the modern-day players is the tackling?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. Mm. Without a doubt. When you haven't got the ball, then it's pressure, isn't it?
Totally.
Because you want to get the ball back. So tackling's become a very big feature in AFL football.
But today. You need to reward it as well,
don't
you?
That's the thing. It must be deflating for players. Because tackling's bloody hard.
Take out tackling as a skill.
No tackling.
Well, they've taken the bump out. Because a bloke said to me the other day, and it was funny, he was just talking about rules and all these changes, and he goes, soon they'll be taking the tackling out. And now we're talking about it.
But we're not taking tackling out. No, even with the bump
he was just tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I know. But my issue around the bump sort of scenario was when people were doing the bump, there was always positions for the tackle. So therefore, when the position is there to tackle rather than bump. That was always the way I was taught, anyway.
Yeah. 1-3-5-3, why is holding the ball rule so hard to umpire? Why don't we go to the family? Yeah?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's go, Timmy.
All right. We'll take your calls next. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Ebo and Jars for your Saturday morning. 1-3-3-5-3.
Thanks for that one, Timmy. That really got us up and about, didn't it, Timmy?
Jars has thrown it out there to you, the family. Why is holding the ball rule so hard to umpire?
1-3-3-5-3, a big debate. Brady Ratt wasn't happy last night with the umpiring performance. 85 effective tackles, only 3 holding the ball decisions were given to the St Kilda Footy Club. Let's go to the phones. Dave of Echunga, good morning.
Yeah, lads.
What are your thoughts on the umpiring and the holding the ball?
I just think we've got to accept they're going to make mistakes. Yes. But they've got all the pressure from both teams, the fans. You get some fans that every tackle their team lays is holding the ball. And then I think in them long tackles, even if the bloke doesn't get a prior, the umpires don't mind a bit of suspense and holding for 10 seconds and blowing the whistle. So just get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Dave. Have a good day, mate. Let's go to Alex of Richmond, a good friend of ours. Alex.
Good day, boys. How are you?
Thoughts?
Good, Alex.
A couple. The people that are actually running the game have a different view on the way we're actually playing the game.
That's a good point.
That's the one. And the two is, these days, we see a decision. We've got a split second to make a decision, or the umpire has. These days, we show that decision 5 times. So if you took away all the replays and stuff, I think you wouldn't get as much controversy with all the decisions that we're getting.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They do a lot. They TV.
We do replay it.
They love it.
And then you get radio shows. You get radio shows that talk about it and keep pushing it.
Well, it could cost a coach a grand final.
Oh, mate, and it's worthy discussion. This is the thing with this sort of issue. I certainly think it's worthy discussion. So thanks, mate.
Good on you, Alex. Good stuff. Yeah. Nice. Couple of calls there.
Now, what about tonight's game? I think Port Bulldogs 2-3.
It's a big claim, big clash.
What was that?
Big claim. I feel like.
What was that, buddy? Say it again.
It's going to be a big clash, isn't it? Mate, it's going to be awesome. And it is. It's 2v3, really hotly contested game. I think Port Adelaide's depth is the big test, isn't it? And so we'll be interested to see.
Now, Scotty Lysett got rubbed out for 4 weeks for that tackle last week. And there was a decision between Pete Laddams and Sam Hayes. And Kenny Hinckley was asked about it yesterday. And he was fairly abrupt about his answer.
Yes, Laddams is playing and not Hayes.
Laddams is in. Was it a tough call?
Yeah, it was. Really tough call. Both boys are in really good form. We think Pete's played some AFL football level. We're really keen to give Sam an opportunity at the right time. And we just felt today was the right moment for Pete Laddams to get another go.
I love it when a coach does that.
He just wanted to get it out there.
Yeah, but that's good. Just go bang, bang, bang.
Puts him in their place.
Yeah, love
open,
it.
Open, honest.
No, I love that from a coach.
I love Kenny Hinckley. I reckon he's a great coach and he handles the media very, very well, I think.
I think he does it in a real honest way that just, that's it. If there's a decision to be made, mate, this is what we're doing. I always respected the fact and even speaking to a few boys that have left since, he always came around on a Tuesday, I reckon it was. Mm. And Tuesday he'd come around and say, Bluey, you're in. This is the reasons. Yep, no worries. Jars, you're out. mate, sorry, mate, but this is what's happening. And so you already knew by Tuesday what's happening. And then you'd have to obviously face the media and talk to you boys. And, oh, look, I'm not sure yet. We're waiting to see. But
you knew.
From an internal point of view, you could build yourself up and understand what's happening around the game and what's going on. I think he was just really open and honest like that. And that's the way it's handling the
so
media.
So you weren't open and honest with us when you got dropped. Yet you told us you didn't know if you're in the side or not.
No, well, that's it. You had to play the game, didn't you? You had to
play the Well.
Well, you had to play the game from a player's point of view. But from a leader's perspective, well done to him.
Kenny was also asked about in the press conference yesterday. Are you all right, Jazz? You're
good.
Bloody coughing up a lung over there about the importance of tonight's game.
It'll say something. I'm not sure exactly how much it'll say. It's round nine. I mean, we make all these predictions and all these bold statements after every round. And, you know, someone tomorrow is going to win, and hopefully that's us. But, you know, if it's the Bulldogs, well, it won't say that much. But it'll say that, you know, you've got to improve whichever side gets the job done. And then we know the next opportunity you play, the sides will be totally different, the teams will be totally different. You know, we actually get a chance to play the Bulldogs again later in the year. So, look, it's just too early to make too many big predictions around anyone, I don't think, in the competition.
It's their biggest test at home, isn't it, this year? I mean, it had a bad result against the West Coast away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Lions away, both pretty ordinary results. But at home, this will be their biggest. Because Port Adelaide is so good at Adelaide Oval.
They are good. The Port Adelaide family always get behind them. I think in terms of tests, it will be. I don't think it's going to be season-defining or anything like that by any stretch. And it's going to be, like you said, hotly contested. I'm not too sure how it'll play out, to be honest with you. The results, I'm still a bit up in the air with. But I think, you know, the Port Adelaide's depth these days is actually pretty strong. And I think that's, you know, a testament to a good side. So, you know, the guys coming in, they'll be ready to go and play their part.
Should be a goodie. Should be a goodie tonight.
You got anything to add there, Jars, or what? No, you feeling it?
I said, well, we'll see.
No. Jars is not quite with us today. He's just a little bit under the weather, but
he's
on a diet, and you're just not quite
the whole feel
where
good,
you need to
good,
be. But that might be a good thing, Ebo. We might be actually able to get a bit more in.
I reckon
Jars
we're killing it too, Bluey.
Piping up all the time.
Overnight scoreboard next. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. There he is, Barnsley's new song, Flesh and Blood, on the M's. And Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Ebo and Jars. Coming up, Rusty's Motorsport update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes, put your foot down with confidence.
Well, he's on fire, Jimmy Barnes, our boy Jimmy.
Love Jimmy.
So he's coming to Febby in July.
Is he?
First concert sold out. So the great man was on Ruin Ditch yesterday morning. I'll put another one on.
Did he?
Yeah, he's home. I'm home. I'm coming home. I'll do another show for my... No, it's not. He loves entertaining. He's sounding fantastic too. Great song. Don't say that about Jimmy.
What did I say? I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you
would have heard me if I had said anything.
Your fingers started to just twitch a bit.
Well, if you sell out, you know, might as well do another one.
Yeah, but he's put another gig on. Because that's why he's much loved here in South Australia. They should be naming a highway after him too.
The Jimmy Barnes Highway.
Why not?
Mate, he's got a land in the city somewhere.
The working class.
Yeah, well, let's get a statue of him too.
The working class road,
maybe. Pretty proud of him. Fantastic. Sounding great too. Anyway, we've got a young man that's going to be very excited today. He's representing his state. He's a little superstar in the sample, flying down there at Panther Park. Young Gibbsy joins us. G'day, Gibbsy.
Morning, fellas.
Young Brycey Gibbs, a little wee little man that you were back in the day when I was taking on your father, giving him a hiding on the game day.
I can't believe you're talking down to him so much here. The wee little man.
But he was. He used to come out.
Young little Bryce Gibbs, how are you?
Mate, you must be bloody excited to represent your state today against WA.
Oh, I am very excited. And what a day for footy. Yeah, get the opportunity to run out for the state and to run alongside some pretty good players. It is very exciting.
Well done on your selection, Gibbsy. When's the last time that you represented your state?
It would have been under 18s level. So, yeah, it's been a long time between drives. But, when I got the call to see if I was interested in putting my hand up to play, I was certainly very excited and jumped at the opportunity to don the red jumper. So, I was very excited to get the call up.
Gibbsy Ebo here, mate. Now, what are we expecting to see? I guess it's going to be, like you're saying, pumped up to be playing state footy. I'm sure it'll be a hotly contested game, up and about, everyone excited for it. What are we expecting?
Yeah, we are. Look, we sort of don't know a whole lot about WA and what they're going to bring, but they're obviously bringing a pretty talented and a very good football side over. But, you know, we haven't spent too much time together as a team, so Sheeds has just sort of tried to get us to gel as quickly as we can. And he sort of said to us, you know, park your egos at the door. There's a lot of good players here, but we're coming together as one this week. We're all going to have a few roles, individual roles we're going to play for the day. And, you know, we've got some quality players on every line. So we'll be looking just to win the ball in the centre and around the stoppage, get it to some running halfbacks and get it into what is a pretty potent forward line. So we're going to worry about where our strengths are as a team, and hopefully we can excite the fans with that.
Any talk about maybe being a standalone game? Obviously, it's exciting to play in Adelaide Oval before an AFL game, but did the boys ever discuss that, you know, it would have been maybe Nord Oval or one of our better venues around the state to just play a standalone, maybe tomorrow, Gibbsy? Any thought? Maybe.
No, there wasn't much talk about that in-house with us. But, look, it's something that potentially could happen going forward. Yeah. But I know the boys are certainly very excited to play on Adelaide Oval.
Nice.
And the curtain raiser to the Port game, obviously. But, that's the way it's panned out this time. And they might be able to look at something different going forward.
No, fair enough, mate. Now, you're obviously, like myself, recently retired. I thought I'd just change tack
a
little
bit. But he's not retired. He's still playing footy.
Well, he's obviously still playing footy, but I'm saying recently retired AFL footballer. What's life like at the moment, mate? What are you up to day to day, other than obviously representing the state and the Mighty Panthers?
Drinking wine.
Yeah. I'm going really well, mate. I'm really happy. Obviously, good. It's been a little bit of a transition. 14 years in the AFL system. As you know, you can sort of get wrapped up in the bubble at times, but... I'm really enjoying life. I'm working full-time at South Adelaide in player development as well. So that's been really enjoyable, working with a lot of their kids and their talent coming through the pathway. So, these young guys that I'm working with keep me young as well, and it's been a really enjoyable experience so far.
Gibbsy, is that what you're working towards, possibly? Some coaching at some level?
Yeah, look, I think so. I think this role... is a really good transition role for me, stepping out of the system and to see whether I want to pursue maybe a coaching career or something along the line. So, I'm sort of working with these guys, mentoring them and helping them with their skill development and whatnot. So, yeah, I think it's a great sort of area to start in to see if I want to sort of pursue something in that space.
Mate, good luck today. Do the state proud. And thanks for your time, Bryce. And say hello to Dad for me. Wonderful memories playing on your dad and also going away with your dad. So give my regards to Dad.
Thanks, boys. Good chat.
Good luck, see you, buddy. There he is, Bryce Gibbs.
What happens on tour stays on tour.
Well, that's when we toured back in 87.
Where'd you tour?
Ireland.
All right.
Yeah, we played the Gaelic.
Yeah.
6 weeks with Ross Gibbs.
Rooming together?
Guinness? No way.
Did you get on the Guinnesses?
Nah, couldn't that.
What?
Mate, I played for my country. I didn't drink for 6 weeks. I'm there to play for my country.
Oh, dead set legends. Triple M.
A good friend of ours. He's in New Zealand at the moment. Good morning to you, Rusty.
Morning, legend.
Now, a bit of a battle for our much-loved member of the Supercars and Triple M family. We're sending lots of positive thoughts to the great man, Neil Crompton. How's he going, mate?
You will not find a better bloke in the Supercars pit lane. Dougie Mulray called him Neil's on wheels. So it was confirmed this week that the voice of Supercars has prostate cancer. And if you know Crompo, you know that he's not the type to shine a light on himself in these moments. So he'll be screaming at the radio about now, calling me a pelican, telling me to talk about the sport instead. He just loves the game, guys. And he's actually kept commentating for a couple of rounds since he got the news, made no fuss about it. Neil's aware of the huge amount of messages of support on social media and from people like our listeners. And we wish him a speedy recovery. Probably a timely reminder for all the lads over 40, go and get checked, go and get tested. And Crompo's a meticulous human being. I've no doubt he will tackle this little speed hump the same way.
Brilliant. Yeah, well said. Get checked, everyone. Now, COVID is still causing a few headaches, Rusty, in F1. So what's happening there? And Lewis Hamilton continues to rewrite the record books.
Well, firstly, we talked on the show in recent weeks about the fact that the Canadian round was cancelled because travel there was going to be too difficult with quarantine and so on. They replaced it with Turkey. Now, overnight, Turkey's been declared a red zone by the UK. So obviously to get engineers and drivers and people like that, there's going to be difficult. So Austria will now stage back-to-back rounds. And to your point about Lewis, 100 poles. He chalked up the 100th last weekend, closing in on the ton for race wins. He's the favourite for an eighth world title. You just have to stop and admire the greatness of this athlete, don't you?
It is truly incredible, isn't it? Yeah. And what's the latest on the Spanish GP winner, Jack Miller, after practice for this weekend's MotoGP round in France, mate?
So P1 or top of the times in the first practice session, which was wet, had a fall in the second one, but was seventh fastest. He's got a bit of unfinished business at the Le Mans circuit, so hopefully he can keep that momentum going. Ducatis have been fast there so far. And as we wrap things up here this morning, a little bit of news through Scott McLaughlin, fifth fastest in qualifying for the latest round of IndyCar. He is away and doing some seriously good things there. Really impressive, isn't he? Awesome.
Rusty, he's the superstar, absolute superstar. Give our love to Neil Crompton, mate, and we wish him all the best. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Greg Rust, our superstar V8 motorsport guru. Timmy?
All right. Coming up, At Home with a Legend. Stand by for that. Triple Ebs, Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Ebo and Jazz.
Got him.
Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Ebo and Jazz on Triple M. Let's do this.
Well, we'll delve into your families and just see what happened during the week. So I'll start with you, Bradley.
Whew. Well, it was Leo's birthday.
Oh, hell.
He is two, so I think it was a week ago now. But anyway, I never told the story. So
terrible
I
felt, twos?
Yeah. Well, oh, sorry. No, he's four. What am I saying?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Leo,
I was thinking about Henry there. Well, I just got excited about the story. I forgot the age. So he's four now. Right. Anyway, so he's moved into the Avengers. He's moved into the Avengers phase. He's really getting into it and all that. And he wanted Iron Man at his birthday party.
He's my favorite.
I
saw
this. Yeah, so I put it up on Instagram. But, mate, he was pumped. So he's dressed up as Iron Man all day. He got his costume and all that sort of stuff. And I got a mate of mine to dress up, park around the back, run around the front, knock on the door. And I bought him a suit. He turns up and Leo's ran to the front door, absolutely spellbound, speechless, like staring at Whitey, Iron Man. And he's giving him like a 30-minute, you know, good luck, mate, happy birthday. Took off down the street. But I put like a blaster on his hand just to make it really look legit. Yeah. Anyway, as he's waved, the blaster's fallen off. And I was like, oh, shit, I've got to get that. Like, Leo, first thing he spotted, there's his blaster. It's his blaster. I like ran up. No, I think it's just a leaf, mate. Pop it in the back pocket. The rest of the day, he was like absolutely taken by the fact that Iron Man was there, but he left his blaster behind.
Brilliant.
Anyway, Bluey.
Well done for doing that, too.
Excellent.
That's a good.
Great. Now, this very disturbing incident took place yesterday, Jazz. So each morning, normally most mornings, I boil three eggs and have those on toast. And I was running a little bit late and I said to my dear wife, Catherine, I said, listen, honey, can you put some toast on for me?
Lovely.
So I go off and do whatever I need to do, come back out. And I see in the toaster, it's just popped up, the end bits. She's put, you know, the two crusty bits in. I said, babe. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That's the crust. And she actually keeps them separate to the normal bread because when we go and feed the ducks with the boys, that's what we do. And she goes, no, I'm keeping the other ones for the boys. She's feeding me duck food. That's what it's come down to. She's feeding me duck food.
It's starting to look like a duck.
I made too many of those towards the end of my career.
And you did too. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Get all your sports news first for your Saturday morning. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Greg Blewett, Brad Ebert and Andrew Newton-Jarman.
Well, it has been a privilege to be here tonight. It's the best football game I've seen. Words fail to describe the effort that those fellows put in. They really did provide a top-class effort. It had everything there tonight.
It says a lot about the AFL competition when we bring these players together and in a one-off they can produce such a match.
Well, if you get, 22 guys in each team and they do what Don said at the finish, for the whole night they have a real go at each other physically, I guarantee you all those players there would have been wrapped. Victoria lost, South Australia won, Neil Curley on the boundary line.
Well, I won't keep you second, Mac. That was one of the best ever.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, who said State of Origin footy was dead? The crowd was fantastic. The game was played in great spirit. You know, both sides hard of the ball. You couldn't wish for a better night.
Whoa, come on.
There you go.
Jarman, can you just put off these, can you just turn off the highlights?
No, I haven't got them on.
He's still listening. No, he's still, put it away, mate.
Get it off.
Jarman.
Stop it.
How Jarman, were you BOG that night?
I played my role.
Hey, it was no, a terrific game. That was 94. What about 89? Were you BOG then?
Oh, I don't want to say too much. But Chris McDermott, Neil Curley, Bruce McAvaney, they all summed it up.
This is your segment, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. Well, you guys wanted to talk about it because of today.
Yeah, no, seriously.
And it's a shame that you didn't get an opportunity to play for your state.
No, mate. I was always a big fan of it, of the idea of it. And just, I don't know, I guess they were trying to break away from it, understanding that the AFL is the premier competition. Mm. That is the best players in the country playing together. But just that idea of being able to represent your state in something like that, certainly held a spot for me. But, unfortunately, it never happened.
Is it dead, Jars? Will we ever see State of Origin again?
No, I think it is.
Do you feel like we should be seeing State of Origin?
Yeah, heart says yes. Yeah. Absolutely. But the stakeholders that run the game, no. Mm. No. And coaches don't want their best players playing in these type of games.
Is there a position for it, though?
I think there's absolutely. In terms of in the season.
Yeah, in the calendar.
You can find a spot. We used to play in May on a Tuesday night. So we'd play Saturday, Sandful, back in the day where it was fantastic footy. Then you go to a training camp Sunday with Cornsey. Monday you'd have a light run. Tuesday you'd play. Then back up Saturday again.
Yeah, they'd never let that happen.
No. Why can the NRL do it in the AFL camp?
Fantastic. There you
but
go.
Do you feel as if that almost overrides the competition of the NRL? So I feel like that's the issue when you look at State of Origin over there. I wouldn't have a clue what's going on in the NRL season. I only know NRL as State of Origin. So would you say that an Eastern Seaboard, they'd almost see it the same way if we did try and recreate it?
No.
I wouldn't have thought so. No.
That's my sort of thought.
Okay, Ebo, what about the end of the season?
Yeah,
so there's the bye before the grand final.
Mm.
But you're not going to have the best players playing.
There's not yet, though. There's no bye before.
Okay, but if there is.
That's what I'm thinking.
If there is, Jars, you could have every player apart from the players playing in the grand final.
No, I don't support that. I think it's got to be start of the year and play it on a Friday night so the players can recover.
So
but
pre-season.
The coaches are going to be more likely going to be okay with their players playing
players
at the end of the season.
Not the start of the season. Greg, the players that aren't playing finals, they check out. They're gone.
But if they're checking out with the idea that they know State of Origin's there, I think that would probably be the logical time because that there's players going in for surgeries and all that sort of stuff. If they hang on for a couple of extra weeks, it's not going to jeopardise their preseason.
How many buys do they have throughout the year? Is it one or two?
One.
One.
One within the preseason.
Why don't you just play it in the season, in the middle of the season, when the 18 teams have a bye? Have 18 teams have a bye?
Well, that's
not a split
defeating
round.
The purpose
no,
of
it's
having
not.
A bye.
Then they all can be available.
But this is the whole issue with the thing, isn't it? Because if you threw it to that, there's always players that need that weekend off.
That's
so
right.
You're going to get your 32-year-old Travis Boak going, I'd love to play, but the team is more important for me
Travis
for this
Boak
year.
Travis Boak was a little bit sore, he put his hand up.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying the example, what I mean? And so I feel like that would be the issue. Yeah. And so that's the timing. I just don't know where it'd fit in, but I still feel like I want it.
It would be great, Greg. Not just because you're here, but I grew up loving my football through the late 80s, early 90s, and those state games were just, it was like what the NRL guys would think during the year. It was like the state games, and then the final series. That they were the real highlights of the year for me.
You were saying that it was like almost the closest thing to a grand final.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You walk into the change room.
The best of the best.
Yeah, it was. And you saw all those superstars in there, and you're putting your bag down in the change rooms at Footy Park, and you're sitting alongside Kernahan, Bradley, McDermott, McGuinness, Platten. The list goes on. Mm. Greats of the game. Greats of the game. Greg Anderson, all these blokes that you go, wow. Mm. You're rubbing shoulders. And when we put the jumper on, mate, we were so tight as a group. And Graham Corns was an outstanding coach. He led us beautifully. We had the great captain in Chris McDermott, G. McIntosh, Michael. You could go on. Household names. And then you go and you run out and then you look across and you see the Victorian side. Oh.
Yeah,
swagger, swagger, swagger. But you had 45,000 here at Footy Park. They were our 19th man. They were outstanding. God, they were loud.
Imagine doing it at Adelaide Oval now. Imagine.
That's what it'd be great
MCG,
to see.
MCG, Adelaide Oval, Optus Stadium. Wow.
Chris from Henley Beach. G'day, Chris.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good on you, mate. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the issue with, you're talking about the NRL, it's just New South Wales versus Queensland, and that's it. No other games. All you boys, and I 100% agree, mate, growing up, State of Origin was the best, but it's always us against Victoria. So you got to, WA would probably have their own passion against Victoria as well. If it was only just two states, if state of origin was only South Australia versus Victoria and there was nothing else, I think it would be alive and healthy. It's just there's a third wheel, third cog in the wheel, and also we're a national comp. Like the NFL is predominantly, I mean, I know you've got the Melbourne team, I think that's probably the biggest problem.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is a good point. Could you have the rest the versus allies. The Vicks?
WA versus...
It's not the same.
Yeah, but that's it.
It's a very good point.
Imagine if they went, it's Victoria versus WA this year, and we're sitting there going, hang on a second.
Wayne Carey, one of the greatest of all time, he played for three states.
Yeah.
South Australia, Victoria and the allies. Mm. Or New South Wales, you know, like... No, if you're born in South Australia, you play for your state. You're born in Victoria, you play for Victoria. Yep. Those jumpers are special. The South Australian jumper and the Victorian jumper, wow. Mm. They're the best jumpers I've ever seen. You're pointing, eh?
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to wrap you up. We've got Timmy from North Haven here. What do you got for us, mate?
All right, boys. Hey, I guess just to back up what Jars is saying about the importance of the old-time state of origin. If you look at Rory Sloane's Twitter picture, it's a photo of him and Paddy Dangerfield, who are now playing representative footy over in Victoria, so that says it all, I reckon. So, boys, I just want to talk about the arrogance of the SANFL. So I've unfortunately had to deal with these guys for the last few weeks for other issues in relation to junior footy.
Yep.
I'm a big fan of the SANFL, big supporter of local footy, the Gazer Jars, my son plays out there, but, you know, what's disappointing is we look forward to the state game when it's played in SA most years because it's suburban oval. We can take the kids along, have a kick, they get to see their heroes and, you know, the general population that support the sport through the 22 rounds a year get an opportunity to see them up against another state. Today, for some reason, I don't know whose decision it is, we can't get to see the game unless we want to fork out $40 minimum to go and watch Port versus Bulldogs. Yeah. Now, that'd be a good game, but I'm not giving a cent for the Cardinals and Port Adelaide, right?
No.
So there's a whole swag of supporters that traditionally support this league day in, day out, week in, week out, that are now basically being told, get stuffed. If we want to watch it online, we've then got to buy a subscription for the bloody advertiser. It's not even through the SANFL website. So, I don't know, boys. I just think it stinks of arrogance. And it just seems the SANFL are acting like an AFL smaller brother. With just the arrogance. It's just incredible.
Timmy, I could feel your pain. And that's why I asked Brycey Gibbs that question.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Should this be a standalone game at Nord Oval, at Thebe Oval, or at Prospect? I don't care. But at least people like Timmy, who work hard and do a great job with the junior program, they all can go.
Yep.
They can pay their $12 to go and watch. But yeah, a lot of you're right. It's disappointing, but again, it's the power brokers. They make these decisions, but anyway, nice to reminisce.
Yes,
but it won't happen. All right, and
that's the unfortunate truth. There, it is. Yeah,
yeah. So we just
have to live off of Jars's.
We just have to keep watching the videos that Jars sends.
Keep putting them on, Charmin. Stop it.
Get it off.
Hey, you're the one that's putting it on.
No,
stop
I'm
this.
Not,
Charmin.
You're Timmy.
Charmin.
The Dead Set Legends with Ebo Bluey and Jars presents AFL Newsbreaker. Jay Clark.
Oh, he's back again Saturday morning. Good morning to you, Jay.
How are you, fellas? Always a treat to be with you.
Now, Jay, you've joined the Greg Blewett School of Destroying the English Language. Let's just go back to what you said about an AFL player, please.
But every now and then we like to take the piss out of someone, it's fair to say. Now, Brundy Grundy, the Collingwood superstar...
what the hell were you saying there?
Welcome to the club, Jay-Z.
What the hell is he? Who's he?
Hey, boys. Talking has not always been a strong suit of mine, so... bit of a surprise career choice of mine to be on the...
Goodness me. You hang around Blew it too long.
Clean belly, bill of health, Dyson. $100 off your first order.
Yeah. Today, Junior.
It's brilliant. Yeah, Brody, Grundy. Grundy, yes. Brody, whatever it is.
Tyson Depple.
Yeah. Now, Western Bulldogs got some concerns about Port Adelaide tonight. What are you hearing?
I'll tell you what was keeping Luke Beveridge up last night, and that is the big fella, Charlie Dixon.
Yeah,
now, Dixon
Chuck.
Not kicked the goal against the top eight side this year. It's one of the most surprising stats in the AFL. But if anything, the tall forwards have carved up the Bulldogs all season and is legitimately the biggest question mark over their premiership guilt this year. So all season so far, we've seen the big goal kickers really take it up to the Western Bulldogs backs. Now, I'll tell you what's going to be happening tonight, boys, and you probably know this better than me, Ebo. Those midfielders, those Port Adelaide midfielders, would they want to be sending the ball in long and deep trying to isolate Dixon one-on-one?
Oh, yeah, that's tantalising. That is tantalising, mate. Big Dicko standing there one out. I reckon he'll be a pretty happy man.
And he'll come in confident, fellas. Now, Charlie Dixon has kicked 16 goals in his last five games against the Western Bulldogs. So I'm not sure if you had any particular teams, Ebo, who you really used to stick it to, but I reckon Dixon's going to come out with his chest puffed out tonight.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see about that. Let's hope so. Now, Luke Beveridge and club legend Scott West are going at it. What's the latest with those two?
So Scotty West, a seven-time best and fairest, had a crack at Beveridge on Facebook, said disgraceful player management, dropping his son, Riley. He's only 20 last week. Of course, he was the medical substitute. Now, Beveridge had a crack back yesterday. He had phoned Scotty West this week and say, "Oi, listen, Duffer, I know we were former teammates, but any chance if you got some criticism of my selection policies, rather than put it on Facebook and attracting national media attention, you've got my phone number. Just give me a call, mate." But interestingly, in that same press conference, Luke Beveridge said that he has been a father figure to Riley West during his time at the club. Now, does that suggest that something is awry in the friendship or the relationship between Riley West and his dad? And is that Luke Beveridge having a crack at Scotty West because him saying that he's got to play this significant role in his young man's life? Is that a dig back at Scott West? It's a little bit messy.
Yeah, I agree. There's something going on there. It seems like, to me, Scotty West is a bit out of line, but who knows what's happening behind the scenes. Now, Jay-Z, more injuries again in the AFL. Is this year worse than others?
23% of listed players, Bluey, are unavailable this weekend because of an injury. So one in four AFL players are on the sidelines this week. Now, clubs are absolutely adamant. That is in part due to the slashing and reduction, significant reduction in footy department spending this year. Less resources, less medicos, less masseurs and physios. A lot of players are having to source their own medical treatment and physical treatment outside the club in their own time, their own cost. So 23% of players missing this weekend. And Dr. Peter Larkins has sounded a warning. He said that the ongoing use of pain-killing injections has to be reined in a bit. So this week, Carlton coach David Teague hit out at reports that Patrick Cripps had suffered a fractured back or still has a fractured back. He said that isn't the case. But interestingly, and I don't think I've ever heard this before, fellas, my bulldust alarm was going right off when David Teague said he wasn't sure of the specifics of Patrick Cripps' injury. He said he wasn't sure of the findings of the medical research into him. Now, Ebo, in all of your football career, was your coach ever not sure?
He knows exactly what's going on, mate. I'm sure of that. He certainly would.
Well, it's almost negligence. Well, a senior coach is playing a senior player. His captain of the football club says he doesn't know how injured he is. It was absolute rubbish. And Peter Larkins has said that was a real concern. He didn't like hearing it. And he said generally across the competition that the painkilling injections are a bit out of hand. And unless clubs want to be sued down the track, they're going to be pulled back in.
Yeah, it's probably fair. And I guess, like, so if we stick on the injury issue, now, Rowan Marshall was injured last night. What's the latest there?
Concern. He's probably their best player, if not behind Jack Steele. He hurt his foot again. Now, this is the third time this season Rowan Marshall, the star big man, has got a foot issue. He missed a month in the pre-season with a stress reaction. Brett Ratton said last night he's not sure whether it's a plantar fascia issue or another rare occurrence of that hot spot. Otherwise, it is a huge concern because just about their most important player, Rowan Marshall. I can't see them playing finals if he misses a big chunk of the back half of the season.
Yeah, that's certainly a fair call. Now, another comment made by Brett Ratton was around the holding the ball issue. What do you make of that?
He says that there was three free kicks paid for holding the ball from their 80 tackles. He says, why would you bother tackling anymore if you're not going to get the reward for it? What do you think, Evo? What do you think of the holding the ball rule? Do the umpires need to be tougher? Do they need to be hotter on that?
I've always had an issue with the way that they dispose of the ball. I always feel as if you've had prior opportunity, even if you are just trying to get it out and you drop it, I still believe that's holding the ball. Plain and simple, holding the ball, play the free, and then you can move on. Like, I just feel as if it creates this rolling scrum as soon as you offer up, you know, too much dispute in it.
Glad you said that. Spot on. It's the way it's written, isn't it, this rule? Because if you seem to just make an attempt, it's play on. But I think you've got to try and make – you've got to properly dispose of the ball for mine. So Brett Ratton, like Alistair Clarkson last year, on the money with that, I reckon.
Now, Jay-Z, just before we let you go, you've got some news on someone that might have been offered a big, big contract.
Yep. Gold Coast, very nervous with news this week that St Kilda are going to throw the absolute kitchen sink at Ben King. Now, I know Max King's radar was off last night. He had an absolute stinker in front of the sticks. They want to reunite Max King and Ben King in red, white and black next summer. It is going to be a huge deal. Now, the decision will come down to whether Gold Coast look like they're playing finals consistently next year. So the Suns fellas are on notice.
Good on you, mate. Have a good weekend. We'll speak next week on the Rush Hour, buddy.
Good on you, fellas.
Jay Clark there on the Dead Set Legends.
Time for voicemail, and it's when the Rush Hour and Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Jars, Ebo, who else did I miss out? Myself. If we're not in the building, then you can ring up and leave a message. And this week, there were lots of messages.
You have new messages.
G'day. Leaving a message for Greg Blewett. This is Eric from the Pro Shop, mate. Your new driver, Custom, is ready to be picked up. It's definitely a Greg Blewett special. It's a thin shaft, a small head, and your mates piss yourselves when you pull it out on the tee. No, seriously, it's ready to be picked up, mate. Thank you. Yeah, boys, it's Roo. You know, the highly successful Brownlow medal-winning champion of the state that's got a breakfast show that's highly paid. Just wanted to congratulate you on the award-winning, and again, the competition for the best 6 p.m. hour-long sports show with two South Australian footballers and a cricketer on Triple M Monday to Thursday award wasn't exactly a packed field, but nonetheless, boys, good with the chocolates.
It's Ian from Adelaide Oval. Can Andrew Jarman please give me a call back? Just wanted to discuss the so-called 32 family members you got into the showdown on the weekend. Thank you.
Boy, it's Ken. What an amazing sight to see so many Port fans in the old jersey for the showdown. In fact, there's as many Port members donning the prison bars as there are behind them. Elton should be demolished.
It's Mato, your boss. Good to hear you guys aren't talking over one another on the show. And, Jars, I thank you for taking that feedback on board. And, yeah, me 3 new tyres on my car. Thanks, mate.
G'day, boys. It's Tex. We lost the showdown, but I decided to get a couple of drinks on the way home. Guy in the drive-thru said, "Do you want a box for these?" I said, "Sure." So I got my gloves and my mouth guard and knocked him out in the first round. Bloody weird.
Burn, Micah from the Stansbury pub, mate. Okay. Look, you've landed all the boys down here in the shit with all the other halves. Thanks to you being smooth on Instagram. Hang on, where's your post you put up for abs on Mother's Day? Here it is. Thank you for everything you do for us. Oh, aren't you just a bloody Romeo, mate?
Well, g'day, boys. Ross Lyon here. Wish I was there to call the showdown on the weekend. I look really good, even though the weather was a little bit out of sort. But other than that, because the weather is coming to show. Gentlemen, it's Brayshaw.
Yes.
You are so fat.
Yep.
When you fart, you can give people a 30-second warning. You're fat.
There are no more messages.
Daka Daka, back in black on Triple M. Jazz Jam, Dead Set Legends. Nice.
You're impacting my household these days, Jazz.
So what have I done?
Mate, in a good way, in a good
way. Yeah, what's happened?
No, mate, like the Jazz Jam's actually got me playing a little bit more rock at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've conned Leo into thinking that this is Iron Man's song.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore now I'm able to play a little bit more of like, because when you watch Iron Man, they've got a lot of Daka in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, mate, it's Iron Man's song. So all of a sudden nowadays we're playing Back in Black and Highway to Hell and scooting up and down the corridor. It's bloody, it's classic, good. Mate. Anyway, so he's into it.
Get him a nice good little man. Jacket and a cap and a guitar and Wee Angus. Hey,
maybe that'll be next year's dress up, perhaps.
But love it, love the Jazz Jam. But that's for everyone going out to their sports today, and good luck today if you're playing netball or footy or what else is happening in winter? Basketball,
golf, soccer,
golf.
I talk soccer,
football.
Talk
is golf,
football.
It's
yeah,
not called soccer; it's football.
Netball.
Well, you know, football.
What'd you say
football?
Then?
Netball.
Yeah. Did Catherine ever play netball?
Yep.
She good at it?
When she was young.
What's happened? Don't tell me she's...
She actually surprises me. When we do throw the ball around and that with the boys, she's got a bit of talent.
Bit of
she
talent.
Doesn't look like she'd have talent, but
she's got bad. Talent, mate. Married to you.
Marion, much of a baller?
My Maz was a state soccer player, football player for a state back in the day.
Yep.
Played for a state. She was a striker.
Right.
She's very, very talented. Loves running, loves being fit. She played a bit of netball. She was a little Speedy Gonzalez. Now, Gregory.
Yes.
We're going to talk about, we're going to do some tips and quickly have a chat about the Crows. But some news has emerged out of Cameron Bancroft.
What's he up to?
Well, as we know, he was involved in the old Cape Town saga, the sandpaper.
Down the old jocks.
Well, about 2 minutes ago.
Would have been uncomfortable, wouldn't it?
He was talking... and spoke with The Guardian about his
newspaper journey
since being caught on camera in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He has now suggested there was awareness elsewhere in the team.
Well, like what sort of awareness?
Well, what do you reckon?
I don't know. You're Greg telling Lewitt the story.
No, the story's just come out. It's breaking
what's
news.
What's it saying?
Well, he's,
the awareness is self-explanatory. Bancroft's admission over who knew of sandpaper plot.
He's sort of referring to bowlers, isn't he? I think that's what we saw.
That's what it's about, the story. But he hasn't named and said
No, but he's just saying that...
This has just come out.
Well, that sounds like a headline to me. The Guardian...
So we haven't read into it enough, you don't think?
You better be very careful
it's not
these Australian fast bowlers have got a lot of money and they've got good lawyers, Jazz. But
if you read his story and he was questioned on it
without
saying it, he said there was, like he said, there was awareness elsewhere in the team, Gregory.
Unless you were there, I don't know what he's talking about.
Do you know anything that we don't know?
No.
Did the bowlers, were they aware of
my experience in an Australian dressing room, both as a player and as a coach.
Yep.
You don't always know what, those two or three players in the corner are talking about. It's not like, cricket's very different to football. It's not like you sit down at lunchtime or tea time and have a big team powwow. It's normally the coach and the captain... get together, talk tactics, and then the captain will talk to the players on the way out of the room. So normally you've only got a short period of time to have lunch, get yourself organised. You might get some treatment, all that sort of stuff. So it's not like, let's sit down, let's talk about how we're going to get this ball swinging. Right, Cameron Bancroft, you grab some sandpaper. Yep. David Warner, you're in charge of...
You get the vest.
We're going to cheat. That's not what would have happened.
No.
And in fact... In Cape Town, I was just telling you off air, Ebo, those dressing rooms, you've got two different dressing rooms. It's not like one big dressing room. You've got, so the team would have been split up into halves.
Oh, okay.
So one group was in one dressing room, the other one. So I've got no idea, but, unless he comes out and names names, who knows?
Yeah, okay. So you haven't heard of any of the bowlers being aware that this is
I've heard lots of people. Our own Mark Rusciuto, I did an interview, and he's saying surely the coach, Darren Lehman, would have known what was going on.
Boofter wouldn't have known.
No.
Why would Roo say that?
No, there's no way. And knowing Boof better than most people,
you do.
There's no way Boof would have allowed that to happen.
No.
The way you explained it, even out in the field and stuff, they're all separated. Those sort of guys in those sort of positions know what they're
doing. That's right. So what happens is generally, because it's... When you're shining a ball or trying to get it reversed, like you've got to basically get one side as dry as you can and the other side as rough as you can, right? So you don't want fast bowlers or other people who sweat a lot to grab the ball. So it's getting moisture in.
Yeah.
So generally what happens is you just get the ball to a designated shiner.
Right.
And in this case, it was Cameron Bancroft.
He was the shiner.
He was the
shiner. And what does he shine? The cricket ball?
Well, he's looking after the ball. He's trying to, get one side shiny. So... a lot of the other team don't know what's going on with the ball.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus like you are.
I'm not trying to do that. Have I thrown anyone under the bus?
It is just a story that's
come out. It's a massive story that's just come out, knucklehead.
Louis got very defensive.
Cry, hasn't he, of his boys?
No, because you're just...
Fair enough,
I'm not accusing or suggesting it. I'm just reading what the story has just come out from The Guardian. Well, you read
and then you didn't even go into what he said.
No, because, well, he did say it.
Well, what did he say?
He just said he has now suggested there was an awareness elsewhere in the team. He's accepted he made a grave mistake. This is Cameron Bancroft. Quote.
What's the quote?
Well, what he just said.
All right.
Don't get
anyway,
me.
Anyway. Well, that's.
So, anyway.
This there, is why there may be some more floor. Stuff. Because of the headline, there'll be other stuff coming out during the week. Right. So we'll keep
Let's
you
go.
In.
What else we got? We got
I don't know. What
the
are we
game.
Doing?
No, no, the games. Let's go.
We've no, we're talking about the Crows as well.
Yeah, that's a big game. What are we
Well, do you want to quickly touch on tonight's game? Port Bulldogs?
I think I probably
Who's going to win?
Mate, this is the part
This is a tough one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Port Adelaide, because you're home and your crowd are extraordinary.
And I know that Port's depth is still strong. Like, think about Laddams and Bonner come in; they're starting players.
And Beveridge is nervous about Big Chuck.
He is,
and
actually.
I love Big Chuck. So you
know, I know that
Keith
we always throw the cliches out there around. Oh, it's going to be one lost in the midfield and all that. There. But it actually, this game is typical of that. I feel like that, and their midfield with their like height differential sort of going forward and back. I think that their midfield is key to it all, and then being able to move off that. So Port Adelaide. Got a big challenge, but I think they're up to it.
Nah, beautiful. Yeah.
Has Port got the best back line in the competition?
West Coast would argue
that,
wouldn't they?
They've been, they're top three.
But
they're top three.
Good, I guess a lot of the good sides have got strong back lines, don't they?
So, well, that's because if you've got a good forward line who create pressure.
The backs can look pretty good when the ball's coming out nice and easy.
You've got a good midfield.
They're getting a lot of intercept possessions and stuff.
Midfield's
Alia has been outstanding.
I said Alia will win the John Cale medal. And we'll play centre-half back in the Australian side. Didn't I? I said that on Rush Hour, Global Rush
Hour. After he dominated the first four rounds. Yeah. So, you know.
He's dominated every game.
Oh, no, he's been brilliant.
Chicken lips.
Very, very
right,
good.
Right, what else?
Now, if I hear one more time that the game's going to be won in the midfield from a current footballer, ex-footballer,
but
a coach, I'm going to punch him fair
that's
in the nose.
You're going to punch someone, eh, with those skinny arms.
That's why I said it is a cliche, but this is the case.
Joel Elton John arms, are you? You're going to punch someone.
At least I didn't have to cover him up with a long sleeve goonzie, mate.
Because I've got long sleeve tats back in the day. I've got the arms of Thor.
He did say, I don't like the wet and I don't like the cold.
Right, let's get
Come
into
on,
the
we're
tips.
Go.
All right. Sydney, Collingwood.
Sydney.
SCG?
Yep, Sydney.
Sydney.
Sydney for that one.
Yep.
Hawthorn, North Melbourne, the blockbuster game
Hawks.
Of the. That's down in Tassie. Yes. Launceston?
Yeah, I said Hawks.
And don't say Launceston. Launceston.
He always pulls you up on the way that you pronounce things, doesn't he?
Gold Coast, Brisbane.
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 Richmond, GWS at Marvel.
Richmond. Jazz.
Oh, I can't remember. I think
Just
I said.
Just go off the top of your head.
I think
mate.
I said GWS. No, because I do the tips for Shiker.
And you can never remember what you've said the day before.
Check them,
All right, let's get into tomorrow's games. Essendon take on Freo at Marvel.
Essendon.
You tipped Essendon.
Yeah, Essendon. Thanks, Greg.
Because I tipped Freo.
Yeah,
find it. At the MCG, Melbourne taking on Carlton.
Melbourne.
Melbourne will keep it rolling, yep.
Carlton? No, I tip Melbourne. Oh. I tip Melbourne. But Carlton are one of those. And then we get to the West Coast, Adelaide. No one's giving the Crows a chance.
Eagles, mate.
Yeah, unfortunately not. No,
yeah, as long as their boys are competitive and they'll get a lot of learnings out of that game because the Eagles are, as Bradley knows, is brutal over there, aren't they? Even though they've got some good players out. Great for the young players to get some experience. And just as long as they're competitive and just have a crack, that's all you want.
Yeah.
That's all you want. All right, anything else?
What else is on for the weekend?
What do you head out
to?
You got the Tigers today. Williston take on Nuri Upa.
I wouldn't
mind. Are you at home?
No, we're away again.
You had to think
about
we're
on the road a fair bit these days. So that's all good. Looking forward to it. So my boys have been good this week.
I wouldn't mind heading up that way. Clare Valley Gourmet Weekend this weekend if you want to get along. So get up there to Watervale Hotel.
And plug him, go on.
Yeah, on Kerner Wines.
Yeah, plug him, mate.
That's what I'm doing.
Who is he?
Watervale Hotel, Kerner Wines, Jono and Damon Kerner.
So have a good weekend, everyone.
Have a good one.
Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.